time of prayer with our God, we bring our petitions. We bring to God those loved ones, friends, and church members who have been heavy on our hearts. We continue to lift up Larry Wilbur and Bill Griffin on their tests and treatments and all that they have going on in their lives. We lift up as well those who are recovering from illness and injury and those that I may not know the stories by name yet. So we continue to share with one another and we lift up each other in word and prayer. People of God, will you join me as we take those prayers that have been on our hearts to our God in prayer? Let us pray. Holy God, we sit in this sacred space and we continue to take breath. We know you are with us and we know you bring peace. For where two or more are gathered, you are here. So today we bow our heads with tender spirits and we ask that once more you would lean in close. Hear our prayers. Buoy our hearts. Send your spirit rushing through us like a mighty wind. For these days, O God, we have much to fear. We fear the effects of time wearing on our bodies, on our minds. We're concerned for our health and those of whom we love. We fear the return of a COVID variant that could once again shut down the world. We fear the rising tide of violence. We fear for creation and the environment. Will our grandchildren have trees to climb? We look at our own lives and are afraid that we aren't making much of a difference. We fear that we might be forgotten at the end of the day. We fear being alone. We fear rejection. We fear grief. We fear not being enough. Holy God, the muck of our lives is deep. At times it feels like we're frozen in it. So we come to you today because you are a God who said, "Do not fear," 365 times in Scripture, once for every day. You are a God who has inserted yourself into the corners of our lives, refusing to let us go, refusing to leave us alone. So we lean in and we rest in that truth. We empty our pockets of our fears and we give them to you, trusting that you, O God, will hold them tenderly just as you hold us. You whisper, "Be not afraid." You promise to never leave our side. You call us beloved. Holy One, may that be enough for today. And now with hope in our hearts and peace for our spirits, we pray the words your Son taught us to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Our scripture verse this morning, our second scripture verse, we've already set with the prophet Isaiah. and Jesse Stump and our lineage and generations of hope to come, we now draw upon words from the Gospel of Luke. Luke 1, 26 to 36. Find these words that we've been alluding to this morning. Let us go directly to the text. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren." The word of God. Thanks be to God. Well, Glenn popped into my office this week. Actually, he was still in the breezeway when the first words out of his mouth were, "Now don't panic." Too late. Right? Those words hit the airwaves. And the word "don't" just automatically disappears. So all I hear in my head is, "Panic now." My brain goes into hyperdrive. Before any other words can come out of Glenn's mouth, I'm already thinking, the messenger is Glenn, property chair, jack of all trades, trustee, elder, beloved servant, caretaker of the kingdom. So naturally, I assume what he's about to tell me is that the kitchen's on fire, or that the sanctuary has been flooded, or that squirrels are making a nest in a ceiling panel somewhere. I know we don't have squirrels that do that here, but anyway, that was still a fear I had in my head. And after my, maybe it's the fact that after my first sermon, perhaps he's here to tell me that five families have decided to leave the church. Or maybe Glenn's coming into my office to tell me that he is now switching from Diet Coke to Pepsi products. He's over there going, no. So if all these things are possible except for that, hell hath not yet frozen over, Glenn. Is that correct? That wouldn't happen. But maybe I thought he's coming to tell me that we're canceling Christmas. In 2.5 seconds, all of these thoughts are going through my head. What could possibly be something that I'm not supposed to be panicking over? You say don't panic, and I panic. You say don't bother, I bother. You say don't worry, I worry. You say don't sweat it, I ask for a towel. It's human nature, right? To expect the worst, to anticipate drama, trauma, and the destruction, and to play into that narrative. We've been known to predict doom as the most likely scenario. We can't help ourselves. It's how we roll. Especially after COVID. In the last 2 years, we call it COVID brain. Or at least I have. I assume it's no different in the scripture we have just read and shared together this morning. Do not be afraid. said an angel of the Lord to a teenage girl named Mary of Nazareth, who's already been through a greeting, and there's no telling where her mind is in this conversation. "Fear not," the messenger of God declares from the breezeway. Too late. Nobody could ever blame her. The most likely human response would be to overanalyze. Well, what'd I do? What will be the consequences? Is this the end? Rarely do we jump to the conclusion that good things could happen to us. Even more so, rarely do we assume that good things could happen through us. Whatever emotions are under this umbrella of fear that Mary may have been feeling, we can most likely empathize. Doubt, uncertainty, trepidation, we all have a story where we've been there. Anxiousness, unworthiness, check and check. Whatever struggles Mary was wrestling with while trying to get to the heart of the angel's message, we have a memory through which we can say, "I think I understand what you're talking about, Mary." In all of her humanity in this moment, we can certainly relate. The idea that God will call upon us to deliver something incredible, something needed, something necessary to the world, to bring the living presence of redemption to a broken people, that we play a part in carrying a message of peace and God's eternal promise to our neck of the woods, is a little bit overwhelming. So the words, "do not be afraid," is a great reminder that we often, if not always, need to hear. The angel knew all of this, that it might be a little much for Mary, and so the messenger prefaces with, "fear not," tells her how worthy she is. And then they declare that Mary will give birth to the Holy Son of God, the one meant to save, in order to bring about a new way and an endless possibility. She will birth the Messiah. And amidst all the practical understandings as to why this shouldn't be possible, in the end, Mary trusts that God is present, that God is meeting her in the fear or whatever human emotion she's feeling. And the bottom line remains that she must choose who she desires to be. She must choose which voice she's willing to give the most power. And the options are pretty simple. They appear to be give into the fear and fear the call of her God, or embrace the challenge and walk into the great unknown saying, "Here I am, send me." The options appear to be fear or faith. We have this amazing story of new life because Mary chose faith. So what about us? Which do we choose? Which voice do we listen to? How can we respond out of faith rather than out of fear? As Christ's church, this is the hard and necessary question we must devote our energy and attention to. We've heard it wonderfully already from Ginger. We know that fear is a dangerously powerful motivator. Muscle memory prefers us to practice out of fear because it doesn't expect much from us, right? When we're afraid, at least my fear response is to freeze. And then somewhere along the line, I do everything I can to flee, to take flight, to get away. When gripped by fear, we tend to stay silent rather than speak up. We turn away rather than step forward. We retreat rather than advance. Fear beckons us to protect what is ours, to hoard or defend. Fear summons us to build walls rather than bridges and teases that it's best to divide rather than unite. Fear causes us to react rather than act. Fear puts us on the defensive rather than on the proactive. Fear possesses and corrupts and defines us in ways that are less than hope-filled and less than holy. And yet we find ourselves gripped, paralyzed, sucked in by fear on a regular basis. Do not be afraid, says God's holy messenger. Do not succumb to the shadow of complacency, but like Isaiah encourages, respect God in all of God's holiness. Trust that the Spirit will come out of the stump of death. Something new will arise. God's always wanting to do something new, something different, something life-giving. Put your fears in the goodness of a living and present God rather than the summoning song of a resistant and self-sustaining human ideal. Faith rather than fear. Trust in a holy unknown. Faith can be that which motivates as fluidly as fear does. Faith is what compelled Mary. Faith is what established a new order in an old order way. Faith trusts and hopes and loves and endures. Faith forgives and attempts to heal. Faith allows us time to build up what is broken down, and faith leans to the side of optimism. Faith motivates us to be willing to say yes to new possibilities instead of being weighed down by the list of negatives that always leave us expecting the worst. Somebody in church has a great idea. It's an amazing idea that might really bring the love of Christ to another, but we always tend to kind of want to say first, well, how much will it cost us? And what if something goes wrong? Will our insurance cover it? What can we stand to lose? Faith asks, who else would benefit if we added something more? What else could we possibly do to make this great idea even better? How can we say yes, and we should also do this, for the kingdom of God is beckoning us right now to bring the peace of Christ to those who need it most? Faith grants permission and encourages service that goes above and beyond what our dreams first found to be possible. Faith seeks justice and strives for equality and fights for equity for all. Faith empowers those on the margins to stand alongside, for us to stand alongside them, those who go unnoticed, and to create space for the voiceless to be heard. That's what faith does. Faith builds up and repairs. It seeks out and welcomes in. It loves without judgment. Faith can also be challenging, can it? Won't always be easy. Following the path of faith is not always popular, nor is it comfortable. Faith tends to be the opposite of fear, as it includes and extends and makes room for all. And in that moment, faith is what Mary claimed when she said yes to God that day in Nazareth. Faith is what she gave birth to in Bethlehem. Faith is what compelled Jesus to love and serve and understand God and teach as he did. Faith is what motivated the disciples to drop their nets and follow Jesus' literal leading. And faith is what drives, pushes, and pursues us, Sun City Christian Church. Faith is what we strive to have lead us into being something more today. To follow the ark from generation to generation and say no to fear and yes to Jesus' command to do this in remembrance of me. Yes, there is much to fear in this world. Yes, we panic, and we don't always know why. We need a place to settle ourselves. And just in case you're still stuck on my first illustration and you're curious as to what Glenn was telling me not to worry and panic about, I was able to get through all of the books and boxes in my office this week. Kudos to my wife, who is the organizer in our family. So I needed that start, right? Because otherwise it would still be February and you would find boxes in my office. Well, those boxes are now empty and on the shelf, and so I piled them up for Daisy. She hasn't met me yet, and the very first offering I give her are a ton of boxes. So Glenn was coming to let me know, unsure if I wanted them stored, recycled, discarded, or whatnot. Don't panic. The boxes are still retrievable if you need them. That's all it was. He was totally right. There was no need for me to panic. The fire department wasn't on their way. But yet there is a time where we still need peace. We still seek a holy presence. And I don't know about you, but each Sunday when I come to worship, I'm grateful for a place to stop and find respite. Whatever I'm panicking, worried about, fearful of that week, I can hand it over for a few moments and find a sense of peace and trust and know that I'm surrounded by a community of faith that's also sharing emotions and feelings that might be more than any of us think or desire to deal with. We find a common place where we don't have to serve or do or be anything but trust and be served by our Christ. We come to this holy table knowing and trusting that we have a Christ who brings peace, who relieves us from our sense of panic, however just or undue it might be. And so, people of God, I invite you to lean in today.